You are listening to an FT Alliance podcast interview on the company We Love You, Fashion Innovation Centre, a consultancy agency focused on the creation of disruptive business solutions for fashion and wearable markets. This interview is with We Love You co-founders Frederic Timor and Kim Gustafsson, with questions from Dr. Michelle Donjou, the Research and Knowledge Exchange Coordinator at London College of Fashion.
If we might start by you telling us a little bit more about yourselves, particularly your backgrounds relating to fashion tech and your particular interests in the field.
I can start. I've been working in the creative industry for many years, around 20 years. And back in 2014, I was the co-founder of, together with founder Frederic, of Noi Labs, a fashion tech startup. And since then, we have been working in this innovation space of fashion, the merge between tech and fashion and innovation, basically. And lately, we've been also setting up Fashion Innovation Center. So I guess, Frederic, you can tell a bit more about that.
Yeah, and just shortly about my background. It actually comes from a fine arts background originally. Painting, traditional painting.
That's interesting.
And then I started a fashion tech company. So that's logic, I guess, to go from fine arts to high tech. And then I created Noia. But it do relates to, and I've always had an interest for fashion. So it really relates to the fine. It's really a mix of the fine arts background and fashion.
Great, thank you. And it's interesting that you're coming from quite different backgrounds. And I wonder if you can say perhaps how did you meet? I mean, that's an interesting one in terms of collaboration and success.
Should I? Oh, you can fill in, Kim. If I remember incorrectly, it was many years ago that we met, actually. And it was really weird because Kim was working at an agency, an ad agency. And that at that point in time, it was very cool in London. Now we're talking about 90s. In London, it was very cool for ad agencies to invite artists to sit at the ad agency. And from that collaboration, cool projects would come out. It was like an experiment. And this ad agency in Sweden was inspired by the London agencies, the big city agencies. So they invited me to sit at the agency as an artist, to do my art projects at the ad agency.
That's actually where it started.
Yeah, that's where we met, actually.
Yeah, and things have sprung from there. And I wonder, you've both had this interest in fashion tech, wearables. It goes back quite a long way. You mentioned the meeting in the 1990s, so we're talking about many, many years ago now. And you started Noia, the company Noia, early on. Can you tell us a bit about that company and that particular phase in your development?
You can go ahead, but I just wanted to add that we actually met in technology back then as well, because we were doing some pretty advanced motion graphic projects, and we really needed really heavy computers to be able to pull that off. So I guess we met in technology in some way, or found each other.
Technology and art, I would say. I mean, it was really, really technology and art.
Yes, and so that was, such an interesting time, that point where technology and art was coming together as a way to transform things and innovate new ideas. And that connects to your company, Noia, and the things you began to explore there. And I wonder, can you tell us a bit about that particular phase of development for you and what that company intended to do?
Yeah, I started as an internal project in my old company. It was an ad agency, so I had an ad agency. everybody was talking about IoT or Internet of Things, and we were looking at Internet of Things, and it was quite obvious that clothes would be a big part of Internet of Things. I mean, if that was about to happen, and I think most people would agree that that we would put technology in everything, because that's just a very human thing to do, it seems. And of course, we will put technology in our clothes. So we were starting to investigate that as an internal project. So really looking into Internet of Things in general, and also seeing the problems with Internet of Things. So actually, didn't I say the problem-solving part had nothing to do with fashion? It was all about IoT. It was general problems in, and now it's quite boring and has very little to do with fashion in general. But it actually had to do a lot with how do you create a product very quickly without going into too much development, especially small devices, and how can you mass produce microelectronics for different purposes without doing purpose design devices? Because if you did purpose design devices, you couldn't get into scaling. So yeah, sounds like very far away from fashion and very boring, but that's what we started to look into. And we also looked into user interface. How can we create a system? In our case, we looked into a node-based system where a designer could go in and create something complex. And actually, when you talk about it, Kim, I haven't thought about it before. It really goes back to what you said, where we with the art and technology, because that was like one of the problems when we were working with art and technology, that we needed technology, we needed applications all the time that was not dumbed down. You needed to do complex stuff, but you needed to be an interface that was intuitive and iterative, because that's how art works or design processes works.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Kim, do you have anything to add there? I mean, we're looking at this intuitive and iterative interface idea and the programming, and, you know, I'm wondering from the technology point of view, Kim, if you could tell us a bit about some of the technologies you were exploring.
Yeah, but I think also what we experienced was a new kind of team. Yeah. If you have real products, if they are connected, and what kind of competences do you need? So we had a mix of engineers, creative people, we work with strategy, we had coding, and we built the apps that Fredrik is talking about. We have fashion. So I think that was an experience as well, having teams like that, because before you might end up with a creative team and an agency, but everyone was in the same shape, so to speak. Here we have to have engineers talking to, and that we realize that is a big problem for all the industry, the merge.
Yeah, you're correct. Sometimes it felt that we spent more time for internal education than development, or, you know, for engineers to understand why we need such or such interface, for example, why it was so important to spend so much time simplify complex stuff.
This common understanding and this shared language that needs to develop between disciplines is so interesting, and has come a long, long way since those early days. And as you know, from the work we've been doing on the FT Alliance, the whole notion of interdisciplinary teams and being able to work across disciplines is crucial to success. So the fact that you were starting this with Neue and exploring these ideas, is kind of giving us a really good insight into your background. And this kind of takes me on to the next question I have, which relates to where you are now or have been in the last couple of years with We Love You. And you describe yourself as an innovation agency creating disruptive business solutions through strategy, creativity, and new technologies. So I wonder, can you tell us a little bit more specifically the types of projects you work on and the companies that might be involved? Would be really good to hear hear about that?
I can say that We Love You is a consultancy agency, and in that agency, Frederick and I and our teammates, we are actually building and designing long-term projects most often, and Fashion Innovation Center, as an example, is one of those projects.
Right now, most of the projects that we're working with in We Love You are related to EU projects. So FT Alliance is a project that we're working with. Small But Perfect, for example, is another project together with Fashion Revolution. So like Kim said, it's long-term strategic project that spans years, like the FT Alliance project, where we look into, just like we said, like disruptive business solutions, etc. Things that we explored with Noia, but that needs to be taken outside of the realm of a startup or product company. That needs to be a little bit more, like, how should I say, common to... it's quite hard to address and approach the fashion industry from a startup. That was one of our experiences. We needed to go outside of the box of a startup.
Yeah,
and if that makes sense.
Yeah, hence the word disruptive in the way you describe yourself. I mean, what would you say a disruptive model aims? Well, it obviously aims to disrupt, but what is it actually seeking to do longer term as well? That kind of idea of longer term partnerships.
Yeah, I mean, in general, when we say disruptive business solutions, what we mainly mean is that the whole fashion industry at the moment is in that state of disruption, very similar to the music industry, where you have consumers screaming for something else. Consumers not always know what they want, but they just know that they want something else. And the industry is not reacting to that. I mean, if you look at the music industry, they were pumping out CD records to an audience that clearly didn't want CD records, they wanted something else. And then came a small startup from Stockholm, you know, Spotify, and which is not small anymore.
Yeah.
And disrupted the industry. And I think that when we say disruptive business solutions, what we're talking about is the same thing, because it's happening for the fashion industry as we speak. That you have an audience that says, we want something else. We want different business models. We want transparency. We want a different way, different ownerships, different, but we don't know what. We just want something else. So I think, especially if you're looking at the younger generation when it comes to the fashion industry, they're not that interested in ownership. It's more accessibility, for example. But there aren't really any good solutions out there to meet the demands.
So
what we're looking at is this type of disruptive business solution. And also that we are open for, or do recognize that the disruption might not come from the industry itself. It might be a player outside the industry. It could be Netflix. It could be, mm-hmm. you know, or a startup from Lissabon, for example.
So part of what you do, I mean, you talk about, you know, anticipating what a customer, a consumer is going to want when they may not know that. And you talk about other players in the field. So I guess part of what you do is research the full realm of things. Can you perhaps tell the listeners a bit about how you go about that with We Love You, or how you did go about that?
We love you. We basically work with more strategic product, like I said, with FT Alliance, with EU-based calls, for example. So We Love You is one vehicle almost for the strategic work that we do. Like Noia was the start. And then with We Love You, we're working more with strategic long-term projects like EU projects. And then we have the Fashion Innovation Center as well, which is a third vehicle.
What we are doing is a bit of matchmaking, a bit of business design. So we can help different players to form a project by joining them. we can be approached by a gaming company, we can be approached by a fashion company, we could be approached by a startup doing some smart material. And what we do is put that into a project where you might go from a small smart textile to a product that can be sold digitally in a game, for example, through a jacket or whatever.
Great. So you are the connecting, you are the connectors, basically, of bringing these things together. I mean, that seems to be crucial.
And going back to what you asked about, with like, how do we do this research? The only way that we found works is to do it very hands-on, to actually do projects. Because you can talk, I mean, we have been talking a lot about fashion tech for the past 10 years. and we realized that talking about it and actually doing it, it's quite different, especially fashion industry, which is, I mean, it's a manufacturing industry. It's a very practical industry. And when you talk with a fashion company, even if you talk to the CEO, most of the time they dive into the practical problems. Like, can you produce that? Can you, is this, you know, and so that's also the approach that we have with We Love You and Fashion Innovation Center. It's a very practical approach. Do something, try to get the product out there. How do people react, et cetera.
And you know, this idea of materialism and of the actual physical product, we'll come back to in a little bit when we move on to other questions. But if we could think about this Fashion Innovation Center, you've mentioned this as a long-term project and a sort of offshoot from We Love You. And I wonder how, if you could tell us more about that and how it fits into your future. You know, what kind of things are you doing in terms of acceleration and innovation with this center?
Yeah, so Fashion Innovation Center was, as an idea, actually born, I think, about three years ago, while working in Neue still, because we realized that with Neue, which was a startup that wanted to sell products, of course, we spent more time educating the industry than actually selling products, and that's not good for a startup. And we also realized that when we started Neue, we thought that the fashion industry were more innovative than it was. We thought there was an innovation power within the industry, so that if we came up with a solution that was easy to use, they would use it for product development. And that was an incorrect. That was not true, basically. And we experienced that the hard way, for a startup, the hard way. So what we realized is that basically what's needed for the fashion industry, what we think is needed, was an independent, basically a research and development center for the industry, but that was specifically for research and development, but a very practical approach. So going, for example, I mean, there's a lot of smart fabrics out there, but to implement smart fabrics, the gap is too big. For a fashion company to go to a smart fabrics company and try to integrate, that's just, the gap is way too big. So you need an integrator. You need someone in between, like Kim was mentioning with the matchmaking, but also a very hands-on practical approach. And with Neue, we did a lot of research down to microelectronics, line production. How do you actually put lining wires into? How does printed electronic works, etc. A lot of boring thing that we dug really deep into.
Kim, while you're there, I'm wondering if you can say a bit more about this very practical approach, this hands-on approach to closing the gap, you know, this, how that worked in your opinion.
I think what did was to identify which players are today ready to do something. Where can we get output? And one area was obviously the universities. Because they could invest in research and development in a completely different way than, say, for example, a brand, since the brands, they had a hard time developing a project without even knowing if they would be able to sell it. So, and that also gave us an arena to be very hands-on.
Yeah.
Because at the universities, they had a lot of tools, and we can add our tools to it. And the students were really, really into new technology, and they grab it really fast. So,
yes, and we're trying to, in higher education, prepare our young graduates for this very sort of dynamic future that lies ahead of them. So, you know, it's really great that you've entered this space, and that your work actually cuts across the fields of both education and the industry. And if we move on to think about the kind of values that you, in a way, embrace, and the larger interests that lie for you in this big issue that none of us can ignore of sustainability, and the question then of how to start digital transformation within a company. You said, you know, one of the things is try and close the gaps, find ways to bring people closer together. But looking at sustainability in a greener future, what practical steps can we take to within the industry to start closing the gaps in order to look at less damage, less harmful impacts?
One of the areas where we have looked into, I mean, of course, Neue Fashion Innovation Center and We Love You comes from a sustainability kind of perspective, but there's so much greenwashing in the industry that you almost doesn't have to mention. And it's also an of course. It's like a, of course, we're coming from a sustainable perspective. But that's really, but when we looked into it, our conclusion, at least, have been that we need to switch the business models, because no matter how you look on it, you need to lower the volume production. That was one of the kind of, yes, we need new materials. Yes, we need better production. But we can't be sustainable unless we lower the volume production. But we also realized you can't go out there and ask a business. I mean, most of the fashion companies in Sweden, and I think it's the same for UK, if I remember correctly, are less than 10 people or less. That's the majority. So small companies, quite small companies, even the well-known brands are quite small. And going out to them and just tell them, lower your volume production, that won't work. I mean, it's not realistic to think that that will happen. So we started to look into the business model, and that's when it became really interesting. Like, what happens if you actually change the business model? Other industries have changed their business model. I mean, the fashion industry is actually quite behind in a way. Mm-hmm. It's the same business model since the 1700s. So they haven't changed, and maybe they should switch. So what happens if you look at it from a user perspective, subscription services, and then we started to look into that together with economy people, with people that actually look into business models. And we realized, yes, there was a lot of ways to make way more money on different business model. And then we felt that that's the approach we need to have. Like, you can actually make more money producing less and be more sustainable. And then it became like, now it's work. Now we got a full circle. Now it can happen. So that's the approach we have, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if I go back to that thing you were saying earlier about the whole material side of the industry and of this focus on production, on producing things, more things, you know, to then sort of bring in this idea that you lower production but you can increase sales is very radical. And, you know, how did the industry, or how are they responding to these kind of suggestions, in your opinion?
I think when you add the digital layer, and when you explain that in a good way, I think everyone can see the potential in it. And Fredrik, he did comparisons to Spotify, but there are more examples. So when you add that layer to it, and when you realize where you actually earn more money on the digital layer than you do on the physical, when you can sell different services, for example, to a jacket, then you can realize, oh, okay, the better jacket that we produce, the more digital content we can sell to it.
And I think that most companies as well, just to add to that, it's quite easy. I mean, we can't go into detail, unfortunately, exactly which companies we're working with right now. But when we break it down, it's quite easy for them to see in an Excel sheet kind of way that you can actually make more money, if you understand what I mean. Like a way that even... Even people are not interested in sustainability. People are, of course, but even if you're not, you can see that, oh, this is actually a better business model.
So the hard data that goes in there is convincing.
The hard data is convincing when you start looking at it, and it makes sense. And we've been doing this for such a long time, and we've been attacking our own ideas for over 10 years. So it's, I would say it's quite foolproof. When you start looking at it. And some of the predictions that we've been saying have also started to happen. We've been talking about Netflix being a fashion player for a long time, and now they have opened up their own first brand store where they have connected garments and accessories to the TV shows.
Yes.
And that helps us, of course, when they see that things that we've been saying is happening.
So the awareness of the field, of the bigger field, is really crucial here. And obviously the highlighting of that. And crucially is returning to that earlier point about collaboration, the sustainability through collaboration between companies and those connections you can make. And it would be really interesting. I know you're saying it's quite hard because of intellectual property and things to talk about companies you're currently working with and ideas that you're developing. But I wonder, do you have any case studies you might share with us in this interview?
We can't share a specific case study, but we can talk about what we are in general working with. And I would say that, I mean, we've been working with quite advanced electronics in Neue. We started out with really connected cloth and printed lights and haptic feedback. advanced stuff. And realized that will happen, definitely. But that's not where we start. Because the fashion industry, like I said, was a little bit more behind than we thought. So right now we're focusing quite a lot on NFC and RFID tags. I mean, it sounds for other industries, it's like, what is that, high tech? Yeah, it is for the fashion industry. So we've been focusing quite a lot, like what's the entry point? Where can we start? And we need ID markings. I mean, if we're talking about any types of different business models, if we're talking about recyclable clothing, etc., industrialization of the factories, everything that we're looking into, we need ID marking. So we've been concentrating quite a lot on that and looking at what types of digital layers can we build on top of that. And what other industries can we connect to the fashion industry that makes sense, and that is where you can see a quick revenue stream as well. And gaming industry is the number one candidate right now. So we are connecting gaming companies or gaming related companies with the fashion industries. I'm working on products right now.
And so this idea of tracking a garment or a history or telling a narrative, these are the kinds of things you might connect to a garment or to a material object through the going back to the Internet of Things and that early sort of start with IoT. Is that what you're saying, that you can
add? Yeah, that's one thing you could do. We kind of have broken it down into three steps. One is like industrialization, so the industrial part. That means like following a fabric through the value chain and doing value chain optimization at factory level, etc. So no, that's the boring part. But all the way actually from entering the factory all the way to when it becomes a fabric and afterwards, but the more industrial part of it where you track it, not maybe from a consumer perspective, but from a company perspective, like where's the asset located? How many do we have in stock? How can we make a more efficient production line in the factory, et cetera? And then we have the consumer part where we look at consumer offers. So example, a collaboration with a gaming company. How can we add value on top? And it could be history, as you said as well. Like, how can we add value to the garment together? And then the last part is the recyclability. Like, how can we use the same tag for sorting stations, etc.?
So that full kind of circular aspect that comes in, that connects back to the environment and to limiting our impacts through fashion on that environment. So as you know, FT Alliance project is really focused on supporting the development in higher education and of our young graduates. And for those of you know listening to this podcast, I'm wondering if you could tell them a little bit about the future job prospects for them. You know, if they wanted to, for instance, start up a company, or if they want to maybe join or have some experience with the Fashion Innovation Centre, you know, what can they do? What kinds of roles might they come into, and how might they be able to do that, to join you?
Yeah, in general, just talking about job roles, I think one thing that's lacking, and that we already see when we're working with companies, we see the lack of one specific job role. And it goes back to what we talked about in the beginning, actually, to close the loop in Neue. You know, when Kim talked about that we had engineers and designers in the same company and the problem, you know, communicating between them. So having someone that has enough knowledge of technology, it's not an engineer we're talking about, with someone that has enough knowledge about technology to be able to talk to an engineer, and enough knowledge to be creative. So, I mean, to be able to do something with technology, you just need to know enough. And it actually goes all the way back to when me and Kim worked with technology and art. You know, like, you needed to know enough to do a weird art project. You needed to know enough about computers and different types of applications and programming, etc.
So that, if that was a job role that you were, you know, saying a young person needs to sort of set their sights on, does it have a particular name, would you say, or it's just making sure they have those skills in the mix of what they can offer?
It's reminiscence of a creative director at an ad agency, but with a little bit more technical skills. Creative directors at ad agencies today do need to have quite technical skills to be able to work with all the different, but someone, a designer that has enough knowledge to be able to, that has enough knowledge about technology to realize his or her ideas.
Yes.
You understand what I mean? Yes, because if you have an idea about what you want to do, and if we're talking about the future fashion, where you will have digital layers, where we will have collaboration with the gaming industry, to be able to be in control of your artwork or your piece or your collection, or you need to have enough knowledge. And I would say that that's the first, at least the most crucial role at the moment, I think, is that designer slash almost project leader, because you need to work in teams more than just being working in as an artist. You know, the old romantic way of working is not working anymore, and where you sit alone in your studio and come up with a brilliant piece.
So the whole shift that's happened is towards this idea of interdisciplinary teams, and then, if you say, having sufficient knowledge. So you know, in the field of technology, for design realization and ideas realization. But what about a young person, say, looking at you know, the Fashion Innovation Centre and thinking, oh, I'd really like to do an internship with them, or, you know, have an involvement in a project? How would somebody maybe go about that if they wanted to connect with you?
They can contact us directly and at fashioninnovationcenter.org. And we are looking at internship, to be honest. So, but we're also trying to help young designers and companies as much as we can, and we do take them on. And like Kim said earlier, one of the things that we do is matchmaking. So a lot of things that we do is we take a big company that have maybe better financial resources and combine them or matchmake them with a smaller company that might have a sustainability angle that the big company lack, for example, or a new angle or a new business model. And it's a win-win situation for both. So we do try to help most of the time with matchmaking, but we also try to help innovative companies with crafting the products most of the time, because a lot of startup, the problem with startups is to get that first minimal viable product out there on the market.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that we really try to help them with.
Okay, and they can come to you, they can actively seek that help from you in the Fashion Innovation Centre. Fantastic. I'd really just like to thank you both for this great interview, and we've learned a lot actually about how you started, where your interests in the field lie, your ability or the strategies used to impact a more sustainable future, and these ideas that you're exploring through the Fashion Innovation Centre that, you know, we've really kind of benefited here, and also very importantly how students can reach out and engage with you in the future. So thank you very much to Frederick and Kim.